Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
Today, let's get down to business of part three. It is part three. Part three of the sermon series we've been in called Let's Talk About Mental Health. And this is season two of this series. Because if you remember, those of you who were here last fall, we did a season one. For 4 weeks, we talked about the importance of mental health. And it was probably our most well-engaged sermon series all year. It was engaged in by people in this room, like Northeast people. It was engaged in by our broader community outside in Louisville, people who are Christians, people who aren't Christians. Several other churches from all across the country have reached out to us, asked us how we did it, and asked us to coach them so that they can do it in their context, because it just went really, really well. And I'm proud that our church has created a space for this kind of conversation. Now, the reason why I think it was so productive, though, was, one, because there's not a lot of churches out there talking about it, at least not in productive ways. But two, this is so real every day in the trenches of life for so many of us, isn't it? 1 out of 5, you've heard me say this statistic over and over. 1 out of 5 people in the United States of America at any given time are struggling with a mental health issue. And if 1 out of 5 are struggling, that means 5 out of 5 of us know someone and love someone who is struggling. This is in your home, it's in your workplace, it's in your dorm rooms at college. Like, this is in your life every single day. And we need to figure out how to deal with it. So we started on that journey imperfectly, but we started on it last October. Now, if you remember last October in season one, we focused on the 20% of the people in the room who are struggling. This time in season two, we're focusing on the 100% of the folks in the room who love and care for someone who is struggling. We're trying to help caregivers care better. We're trying to answer the question, how do I help a loved one who's struggling with something that I've never struggled with before? And honestly, sometimes I don't even understand. That's the goal of this. Each week, we're laying out a power principle that will help you do just in fact that. If you were here in week one, we talked about the importance of growing and building empathy. Steve did a great job with that. Last week, we talked about the importance of choosing truth. This week, I'm gonna give you power principle number three, but before I do, we need to talk about leadership. Because I think that a discussion, it's kind of philosophical. We'll do some philosophizing and theologizing again this week, right? Because I think if you understand a few important things about leadership, it will help you understand how to care for your loved ones better. So let's talk leadership for a second. This is a good group to talk leadership with because there's lots of high caliber leaders in this congregation. Here's the first thing you need to know about leadership. You're a leader. You're a leader. Because we're all leaders. You know what leadership is? It's influence. Leadership is nothing more and it's nothing less than influence. And every single last one of us in this room, whether it be a whole lot of influence or a little bit of influence, every one of us have influence. I've made a list for you of several different arenas in our life where we exercise influence. And I guarantee a few of these hit you right on the nose, like organizational influence, positional influence, financial influence, political influence, religious influence, social influence, celebrity influence, platform influence, which is something that has exploded with the innovation of social media. Cool kid influence, and that's just not in high school too. Like, there's still cool kid stuff that goes on in every circle. Sibling influence, marital influence, parental influence, relational or friendship influence. Intellectual influence, thought influence, oh, and the gift of influence, because some of you are just influential, persuasive people. Now, if I gave you a few seconds, you could pick out at least a few of those in which you exercise some level of influence, which makes you a leader. See, that's why I believe we're all leaders, because leadership is influence, and you got some influence, whether it be big, whether it be small. Now, that being said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think in your mind right now of all the many people through your life that you have had the opportunity to lead or exercise influence over. I want you to think faces. I want you to think names. And once you get some of those faces and names in your mind, I want you to answer this question for me, all right? Who Who is the hardest person you have ever had to lead? And I don't want you to just think that question. I actually want you to turn to your neighbor right now, and I want you to tell them the answer to this question. Who's the hardest person? And if you can't tell them, give them the initials. If you don't even feel like you can give them the initials, just say, you don't want to know. All right, but spend about 10 seconds, and I want you to tell them who is the hardest person you've ever had to lead. Go, go. No. There's lots of laughter going on in the room. Must be some funny stories. Yeah. Oh, I know her answer. I know her answer, Cree. I know her answer. Okay. So now I'm kind of interested. Let's do some audience participation here. Raise your hand if the hardest person you've ever had to lead is at work. Raise your hand. Okay, so that is actually not very many of us. Wow. So raise your hand if they're outside of work. Keep your hand raised if they're in your friend group or family group. Oh my. Keep your hand raised if they're sitting next to you right now. And put your arm around them and tell them you love them, even though you're a pain in my butt. Okay, now the reason we did that little thought experiment there is really onefold, okay? Here's what I think. I think that everyone who raised your hand in this room, I think you're wrong. I get the microphone on Sunday, so I know you might disagree with me, right? But you don't get to talk. I get to talk today. I get the mic. I love Sundays. And I think, in my humble opinion, you are 100% absolutely positively wrong. Because as hard as he is to lead, he is not the hardest person to lead, and neither is she. You know who the hardest person you will ever have to lead is? Yeah, that would be you. You is the hardest person. You. And have you ever spent any time with you? Because you're a tough cookie. All right, thought experiment, another one. I want you to think in your head right now of all of your biggest mistakes, your worst regrets, your worst decisions that you've made in life. Now, who's the common denominator in all of those? You see, everywhere you go, there you are. And that's my point. All right, you've led some hard people, but if we're getting honest here, you are a very, very hard person to lead because you try every day, and if you're like me, you fail on most days. Some of you fail at self-leadership because you fall on the perfectionist end of the spectrum. And so you hold yourself and others to an impossible standard. You grind, 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 go, 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 until you're completely exhausted and never content. That's a hard person to lead. Others of you fall on the other end of the spectrum. You don't motivate yourself very well. You're not just like an inspired person. You're a little bit lazy. Okay, let's just be, you're a little lazy. So you're good at blaming problems on someone else or pushing responsibility onto someone else's plate. And it's just hard for you to get yourself inspired. More pertinent today, some of you in this room struggle with mental health issues. And so that makes self-leadership just downright impossible because of what's going on in your head or what's going on in your physical body. You want to climb out of the pit that you are in, but there's this heavy burden just weighing down on your shoulders that makes progress inch by inch. Or for others of you in this room, you're the caretaker of someone struggling. And so you're constantly pouring your cup out, pouring your cup out, pouring your cup out, but you never create margin to fill your cup up. That's not self-leadership. Okay, self-leadership is hard. It's never easy. It's always elusive. Okay, it's not easy because it means admitting you have limits. It's not easy because it means setting up boundaries in your life. It's not easy because it means saying no sometimes, and some of you are terrible at saying no. It's not easy because it means setting goals and sometimes putting in a good long day of hard work. It's not easy because the obstacles of self-leadership sometimes feel impossible. It's not easy because for some of you, self-leadership feels selfish. and you're not a selfish person. But at the end of the day, it's just not easy, is it? But here's what I would tell you. It is absolutely essential. Because while you may be the hardest person you ever have to lead, you are also the most important person you will ever have to lead. Because if you don't lead yourself well, you will not lead others well. If you don't take care of you well, you won't take care of others well, at least not for long. Now, I'm not the only person who thinks this. Actually, Jesus, I think, would agree with me. In one of the most profound and epic passages he ever laid down. Again, we talked about this last week, but you know what I love about Jesus? His brilliance is transcendent. He said, okay, you don't have to believe what I believe about Jesus in order to love this about him. His brilliance 2,000 years ago is still transformative and relevant 2,000 years later on a culture on the complete other side of the world, which makes him a pretty profoundly brilliant man. And in this passage in Matthew chapter 22, he says a couple of extremely powerful things that I think speak into this conversation about self-leadership. Now, I go to this passage probably once every month or two. I know, so this should be familiar to you if you've been around here long, because this passage is foundational for what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to do life well. But what I want to point out to you today is a subtlety in this passage that oftentimes gets skipped in the translation that I don't want you to skip in the translation. All right, so Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, a lawyer comes up to Jesus and says, hey, what's the most important law of them all? And this is how Jesus responded to him. He said, well, okay, you must love the Lord your God. This is first. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's number one. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now, quick sidebar here. Sometimes people are like, Tyler, you come back to that passage all the time. You're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, preacher, all right? So get off that passage. Well, I agree. We are supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm with you. But according to Jesus, this is the whole counsel of God. All the law, all the prophets, the entire law and prophets are summed up in these two. So if we spend our entire life studying this passage right here and working it out in our lives, I think we'll be all right. Now, that's not the sermon, sorry. Back to the sermon. Now, when I usually teach this passage, I teach it like this. Jesus gives us two priorities here. Okay, there's love God, that's priority 1A, and there's love others, that's priority 1B. Which means, where does love me fall on that priority list? Well, love me can be no higher than number 3. And the reason why I teach it that way is because in a consumeristic, individualistic world, I just want to remind us all that the world does not revolve around us and the world should not revolve around us. It's a good reminder. However, Jesus, again, subtly here, gives us a third priority. And I don't want you to miss it. See, what's the third priority? It is, in fact, love me. Love your neighbor as you love who? Yourself. You see, you know what I think Jesus is communicating to us here? He's communicating to us here that there is a healthy level of self-care, self-compassion, self-leadership, self-love, self-ascribing dignity and worth that is good for a follower of his. In fact, this passage right here wouldn't make a whole lot of sense if we hated ourselves, would it? It'd actually be a really bad commandment. Okay. How much do you love you on a scale of 1 to 10? Right now, Jesus, I feel like a 1. I hate me pretty much, like, all the time. So I guess I can treat everybody else like a 1 then, because like myself, right? No, no, no. See, you're missing the commandment. Self-leadership's important to him. Now, why? Why would he say that? Well, don't miss the actual heart of this passage. Jesus doesn't point our service to self. He points our service outside of ourselves. He says, yeah, okay, it's important for you to love self, but not for the sake of self, for the sake of others. It's important for you to take care of me, but not for the sake of me, but for the sake of mission. For Jesus, life always boils down to servant leadership, to servant leadership, to servant leadership. And you know what he tells us here? He says servant leadership begins with self-leadership, But don't get it twisted. It's always about servant leadership. But if you're going to serve others well to your maximum capacity, then you have to take care of yourself. Perhaps you would say it like this. When you lead yourself well, everyone else wins. When you lead yourself well, everyone else wins, including you. So here's the bottom line for today. I believe that the hardest leadership challenge that you will ever face is in the mirror every morning. But your ministry starts in the mirror. What does the word ministry mean? It's just one of those Christian words for service, your mission, your calling in life. I'll tell you what, your ministry, your calling begins in the mirror. You gotta lead self well, but not for the sake of self, for the sake of the neighbors Jesus has put in your life to love. Now, you with me? You with me? Any questions? No questions? Great, let's move on. Now, that theological, philosophical leadership groundwork having been laid, let's talk about mental health, because this is power principle number three. In week one, power principle number one, we talked about the importance of growing and building empathy. Last week, we talked about the importance of choosing the truth. Today, I want to challenge you to practice self-leadership, to practice self-leadership, not for the sake of self, but for the sake of others, not for the sake of me, but for the sake of mission, because servant leadership begins with self-leadership. So practice self-leadership. For those of you who are caregivers desiring to care better for those in your life, if you continue to pour out your cup without filling it up, eventually your cup will run dry. So you gotta fill yourself up. For the sake of them, you have to fill yourself up. Now, let me get even more practical with you. I only have one piece of homework for you guys this week. And I know I usually give you like a lot of different like pieces of homework. It's just really just one. I have one driving like application assignment that I want you to take home with you and begin to practice in your life. Several different strategies within it, which we'll get to, but one piece of homework. So if you miss nothing else today, don't miss this, because I think this is the key to self-leadership. You have to develop a plan, a self-leadership plan. Do you have a plan? Because you have to develop a plan. Self-leadership does not happen by instinct or accident. Instinct can only get you so far. It needs to be intentional, intentional. So have you developed an intentional, not an accidental plan? Have you developed a proactive and not a reactive plan? Because most of us are reactive. We wait until it gets bad and then we're like, oh, now I need to start filling myself up. Look, you could have prevented all that from ever happening to begin with if you had a plan. So do you have a plan? All of us understand the importance of strategy when it comes to business. We understand the importance of planning when it comes to our finances. We understand the importance of setting goals when it comes to nutrition or when it comes to, you know, the kind of environment we're trying to create at home. Same is true for self-leadership. Have you developed a strategic plan with very clear goals? You should. Now, for those of you who are caregivers trying to care better, I want to allow you to see around the corner here a little bit of what's coming for you. Because here's the deal. If you step into someone's life who is struggling with great pain, if you decide to bear their burden with them, and you kind of get underneath that heavy load, you say, I'm gonna carry this boulder alongside of you, then here's what will happen. You'll actually get close enough to them for them to feel your love, which is a good thing. But you'll also get close enough to them for you to feel their pain, which is a painful thing. You'll never be able to fully empathize with them unless you've gone through what they've gone through. But you will begin to partially empathize with them because you will start experiencing some of the effects and some of the things that they are dealing with themselves. Now, here are four ways that it'll tend to affect you: emotional depletion, physical exhaustion, relational strain, and spiritual disconnectedness. Emotional depletion, physical exhaustion, relational strain, and spiritual disconnectedness. Just so you can see around the corner, okay? Now, the wise person says, okay, well, that's good. Thank you, preacher, for putting that up there. Okay, now I can see around the corner. I know that's coming, right? And so since I'm a wise person, before I get emotionally depleted or physically exhausted, I'm gonna fill myself up emotionally and physically. I'm gonna create some strategies to make sure that I run on full and not empty. Since I know that this is gonna be strain on my relationships and may potentially even disconnect me and pull me apart from God, I'm going to make sure that I invest more in my relationships, or I draw near to God so he might draw near to me in return. That's what the wise person will do. So I never get there. Wisdom is proactive, right? So let me ask you again, are you being intentional and proactive? Do you have a plan? That's a question of the day. And if not, I wonder, how long do you plan to wait? Hopefully not until it's too late. Because some of the pain that you may experience could so easily be avoided. Now, what does a good plan look like? Okay, well, let me give you just a bunch of real practical strategies that you could integrate into a self-leadership plan this week to help you maximize your care for those in your life. Here's the first two. Talk to a counselor and talk to a friend. Talk to a counselor and talk to a friend. Some of you need to get professional help. Not because you're in a bad place, so that you won't end up in a bad place. Proactive, not reactive. I think that you need to talk to a counselor if the person that you're caring for is especially close to you. I think you need to talk to a counselor if the person that you're caring for is going to require a long-term commitment of care from you. If it's going to be a long time, talk to a counselor. Not only will that counselor do a tremendous job of helping you develop a self-leadership plan, but they'll also do a great job of giving you some practical strategies of how you might help and care for your loved one. So talk to a counselor. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't need a counselor, I'm a man. Okay, shut up. Okay, but others of you might be like, I can't afford it right now. I don't have time for it. It's funny how we can afford the things that we can afford. You know, cable, Netflix. I've walked through that parking lot out there before. Yeah, it's funny, right? But it's funny. Anyway, so for some of you, I can't afford it. So at the very least, you need to talk to a friend. Find a friend with shared values. Find a friend with shared experiences. Find a friend who is good at listening and will speak the last 10% of truth. But find a friend. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It's such a good passage. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. The Bible's so hard. Well, sometimes, okay, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's weird, and sometimes it's just like, duh. You should read your Bible sometimes. There's some good stuff in there, promise. Repeat this after me. Walk with the wise, become wise. So there you go. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? For some of you, one of the best self-leadership strategies you could begin to implement this week is a regular coffee appointment with a wise and trusted friend. Talk to a counselor, talk to a friend. This is good spiritual advice. Talk to a counselor, talk to a friend. Here's another piece of advice. Take care of your body. Take care of your body. All right, now I think that taking care of yourself physically is one of the most spiritual things you can do, all right? So do you even lift, bro? No, like seriously, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Did you know that your physical body is actually the physical vessel through which God gets everything done in the world today? Our bodies. We are, in fact, the body of Jesus. And your body is, in fact, the temple of the Spirit. You know, Jesus left 2,000 years ago. He gone. He died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven. Today, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, according to the scriptures. But Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is active in the world. And guess where the Spirit resides? In your body. So you need to take care of your body. No wonder research shows that getting 7 hours or more of sleep regularly will dramatically, positively affect your mental health. No wonder studies show that 3 balanced meals a day will dramatically and positively affect your mental health. No wonder studies show that just 20 to 30 minutes of exercise a day, and that could be as simple as getting your steps in, you know, going outside for a walk, it will dramatically affect your mental health in a positive way. So start integrating some of these healthy habits. Now, honest moment here. Can I be honest with you? I know this is not you, but this is me. In those moments of high stress and high anxiety, in those seasons where I start feeling emotionally depleted and physically exhausted and relationally strained and spiritually disconnected from God, again, this is not you, this is me, but I have a tendency not to lean into healthy habits, but to lean instead into unhealthy habits. I call it self-medicating. And you know how I self-medicate a lot? I stay up late and I eat junk food. That's just my trend. I stay up late and I eat junk food. Here's another one. I haven't shared this probably with most of you in the room before. When I was about 15 years old in high school, I made the varsity baseball team as a freshman. And I thought I was cool, but I really wanted to fit in with those older guys. I wanted them to like me. So you know what I did? I picked up this awful habit to be cool called smokeless tobacco when I was 15. And 15, 16 years later, during those times of emotional stress and anxiety and strain, it is a battle. Now, at 11:30 at night, when I'm watching a show on Netflix and I'm eating that whole carton of ice cream, it feels good for about 10 minutes. But then the next day it doesn't feel good because I'm going off about 5 hours of sleep and my body feels sluggish and just like crap. And you know what? A sluggish, unrested version of me is not a fun version of me to be around, so it causes relational strain in my life and then thus spiritual disconnection from God. Don't you see? Like, okay, what's your unhealthy habit that you lean into? What is it? How do you self-medicate? For some of you, it may be binge eating, staying up late. For some of you, it may be drugs, alcohol, pornography. For some of you, it may be spending money you don't have on stuff that you don't need. What is it? What is it? I want to challenge you to lean out of that bad habit and into good ones. Replace those bad habits with healthy habits in your life and take care of yourself. It is just tremendous spiritual advice. Here's a quote that one of my ministry residents gave me this week. And I just thought this was so good that I just needed to share it with you. And don't miss the first line because this is the best part. Adrian said, effective self-care usually looks a whole lot more like self-discipline than self-indulgence. And that is good. Let me read that again a little louder for those in the back. Effective self-care usually looks a whole lot more like self-discipline than self-indulgence. Man, that's good. So yes, by all means, treat yourself to the bubble bath or the mani-pedi, but also treat yourself to the healthier meal, a walk around the neighborhood, and a reasonable bedtime. It makes a huge difference. And it does. That's good spiritual advice. This is why the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, that the fruit of the Spirit produces this kind, or excuse me, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and oh, you don't even want to say it, do you? Come on, come on. Self-control, self-control. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. A church leader must live a devout and disciplined life. Proverbs 25, 28. Love, oh, I love this passage. Think about this image. The author says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Now, question for you. In the ancient world, why were walls built around a city? Protection, self-defense. So you know what the proverb is saying here? When you have no self-control, you are defenseless. Defenseless against what? The enemy. Defenseless against what? Emotional depletion, physical exhaustion, relational strain, and spiritual disconnectedness with God. So take care of yourself. It's biblical advice. All right, next strategy. Practice restful solitude. Restful solitude. This gets at the idea of Sabbath. Christians, this is a word we use often, Sabbath. The idea that rest is holy, get some, in the words of Bob Goff. Now, we got some hard workers in this room, and that's great. I am so glad that you work hard. You know what hard work does? Hard work celebrates God's trust in us. And God has entrusted in you certain talents and gifts and opportunities and skills and resources that he wants you to get a return on that investment. Like, he's invested those in you. And when you work hard, that celebrates God's trust in you. But rest celebrates your trust in God. Just acknowledging that, you know what, God, you can get it done. You can keep the world spinning without 100% of me 100% of the time. You think God can get it done without you? You think he can keep the world spinning without you? Has he ever done that before? Oh, I don't know, for maybe thousands upon thousands of years before you existed? Yes, I think he'll be all right if you take a day off. Rick Warren, one of the most influential pastors of our time, spent most of his professional career struggling with mental health issues in his own head and his own heart, but tragically also lost one of his children to a mental health issue. And he's committed the last half of his ministry life to investing and speaking into mental health. And so I heard him once in a leadership conference say this about self-leadership, so practical. He says, divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually if you want to create Sabbath rhythms in your life. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. That's good. First, divert daily. What does that mean? Well, that means you need to know what re-energizes you on a daily basis. For some of you, it's strumming a guitar. For some of you, it's, you know, going for a walk outside or FaceTiming that certain friend. For some of you, it's planting a garden in the back. I don't know, working on your car, whatever it is. Find your daily diversion. You know what it's been for me this season? It's been three things. One, I like to get up in the morning before anybody else and read for 30, 45 minutes. It's a good fill up for me. Two, I like to stay home and work there until my family gets up and then pause work and make breakfast for them and just spend time over breakfast with them. Here's why. I found that when I first started my ministry here, I loved my job. And so I would get up as early as I could, come in here as early as I could and work all the way till 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And I'd get home at the end of the day, absolutely exhausted with no good hours left to give to my family. And I thought to myself, how backwards is that? So if my best hours are in the morning, I should at least be giving an hour to them in the morning. It's been such an energizer to just connect with my kids, connect with my wife, when I'm actually fully present and fully engaged. Third strategy I do every single day is exercise. Even if it's in the middle of my workday and I gotta go, even if I gotta run into a meeting with gym clothes on, doesn't matter to me. It's a priority to me because I know that self-leadership, good self-leadership will position me to lead others even better. So sometimes staff's got to deal with a sweaty Tyler, and it just is what it is. Divert daily. What energizes you? Withdraw weekly. You need to take a day off. So what's your day off? And if you can't immediately answer that, there's a problem. What's your day off? For me, it can't be Saturday or Sundays because I work on Saturdays and Sundays. Hi. But it's Mondays for me. I take Mondays off. And my Mondays look like what I do most other days in order to re-energize myself. Okay, now, I don't know about you, but if I don't plan my day off, then you know what my tendency is? You can just probably relax on your own. But for me, I'm a little bit of a busybody. So if I don't plan my day off, I'll drift towards work. So I actually try to plan things that I do regularly on my days off. Again, get up, read, breakfast, get the kids off to daycare, spend a few hours to myself reading, exercising, whatever. Then when I get the kids for the rest of the day, you know what we do? First, we go to the grocery store. It's my day off. And you know why? Because they actually like it. Palmer and Larkin love Kroger cookies. Just, you know, you want to get somebody's kids to start dragging them to your place of business, hand out good little sugar cookies because they drag me there. And then after that, we always do a fun activity at the end of the day. The past few weeks, Palmer's been having me drag his twin mattress from upstairs out of his room down into our TV room, and we've been building forts. And we'll like wrestle on or we'll watch a movie or whatever, and he loves it, and Larkin likes climbing on it, and it's a good weekly withdrawal from the grind. And a great deposit in my kids as their father. Last one, abandon annually. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. This gets at vacation. Do you take a vacation? When I first started working here, I didn't plan my vacation out ahead of time. So you know what would happen? I'd get to April and I'd be like, yeah, we're going to take a couple weeks in June, babe. That's what we're going to do. And then we get to June and I'd be like, well, it's going to be 1 week, but it's going to be in July. And then I'd get to July and I'd be like, well, it's going to be in August. And then all of a sudden it was 3 days in September. And it just shrink. So for me, in July or August of the previous year, I have to write in ink into my calendar what my vacation will be for the next year, or else it'll shrink and disappear. You need a vacation. You do. Your family needs a vacation. And you know what? Your family needs you fully connected and present on vacation. So abandon annually. All right, last strategy. This is an important one. Practice self-reflection. I believe the key to spiritual growth is self-awareness. So for the past couple years, me and a couple of our staff have taken quarterly breaks in order to ask ourselves 6 self-reflection questions that we think help get inside of our own hearts and our own heads. Now, I can't give you all 6 because we don't have time, but I want to give you 3. And I challenge you, just go home and ask yourself these questions this week. Do some prayerful thought over them. 1, am I living inspired? Am I passionate? A passionate version of you is a more fun version of you to be around, and it is also a more effective version of you in home and at the workplace. Am I living inspired? One research study said that an inspired leader is 40% more productive. So am I living inspired? Some of you are like, well, not really, but how do I get that? Well, you know how. This is where self-leadership comes into play. You actually know what gets you going, what gets you fired up. You do a little self-reflection. And you can figure out the things that re-energize you to go take the hill. You know what inspires me and gets me passionate in literally every arena of life? This is just me. Serving the least of these. When I go out and get involved in some of our Lovedville outreach stuff, it fills me up emotionally. It energizes me physically. It reminds me of the importance of simple love. And so it makes me better relationally and it connects me spiritually, because Jesus says I'm in the least. It's an inspirer for me. Figure out what inspires you and make sure you're living inspired. Next, where are my energy levels? I think you should do energy management more so than time management, because we all have the same amount of time, but not the same amount of energy. So this week, go home and I want you to draw your bucket. This is one of the things that Bob taught us over and over and over again. Go home and draw your bucket. This is your bucket, okay? Draw it. And on a little spigot, I want you to write the word drains, and I want you to draw a bunch of arrows and write down the things that drain you, that drain the energy out of you. And some of those things might be good things, but they still drain you. Write those down. Then at the top, draw a few arrows out the top of the bucket and write down the things that fill you. And then make a copy of it and hand it to your spouse. And make another copy of it and hand it to your friends, and make another copy of it and hand it to your boss at work, because it'll help you lead them better and it'll help them lead you better. And then I actually want you to figure out what level you're at. Like, draw your level in the bucket. Now, you know what I believe a healthy level is? It's not too low, because that means you're running on empty. But it's also not too high, okay? If you're at like 90 to 100%, what the heck are you doing? Get in the game and start pouring some of yourself out, all right? Jeez, like it's sloshing out the top. You're wasting it, okay? I think a healthy level is like maybe 60 to 70%. You can stick around there and start feeling like you're around there. That's a pretty good place to be. Now, you know what was so counterintuitive? Our tendency is seasons of high drain. When things get really busy and we get really stressed, our tendency is to cut what out of our schedule first? Fills. But look, if you're draining fast, you need to be filling up just as fast, right? Or else you're gonna hit empty. But I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy to take a day off. I'm just too busy to exercise today. Honey, I'm sorry, it's gonna be another late night, so I won't be home for dinner. I'm just too busy to get to bed right now. Well, tell you what, that is a pathway to burnout. So again, Where are my energy levels at? Great self-reflection question. Last one. Is my character conforming to Jesus? Is my character conforming to Jesus? There are so many character inventories about Jesus in the scriptures. All right, here's one of my favorites. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, Peter writes, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. And he gives us some character traits. He says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Now, those are great character traits, right? I love what he says next, though. He says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will actually be in your knowledge of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Or said a little bit differently, if you compromise your character, you will compromise your capacity to care and lead others well. So don't compromise your character. All right, quick review. One piece of homework. All right, and please take this home. This time for us together is not just a nice time for you to get your religious stuff, you know, done for the week. Check, okay, and now I can go back to my life. No, the point of this time is to be ascending, like to send you out so that what you hear on Sunday doesn't stay on Sunday, but it actually affects Wednesday and Friday, you know, and Thursday. So please take this home with you. You need to develop a self-leadership plan. And a few strategies therein could be these. Talk to a counselor, talk to a friend, take care of your body, and practice restful solitude and self-reflection. All right, closing word. This is the Lovethville Church. So I know it's one of the most compassionate, generous churches on the planet Earth. I know that you want nothing more than to see your loved one struggling, be healthy and happy and whole again. And I know you'll do anything to help, anything, which is the problem. So make sure you are exercising self-leadership so that you actually be able to lead them well in the long term. If you don't take care of yourself, then you won't be able to take care of anyone else, at least not for long. Develop a plan. Hey, okay, let me tell you what is not a strategy. Wishful thinking is not a strategy. Wake up, y'all. Wishful thinking is not a strategy. Well, I just hope I can make it through this season, okay? That's not a strategy. Well, I just pray that God will get me through this, all right? Well, prayer is a strategy, but you know what makes prayer so powerful? It oftentimes pushes you into action. Because see, wisdom is proactive. Faith is always active. So stop wishing and start doing. You wanna hear another bad strategy? Tough it out. That's a terrible strategy. Just grind through it. You're a man. Man up. That's a dumb strategy. It's just dumb, okay? Somebody's wife is clapping right now. It's dumb. She knows. And so do I. That is not a strategy to get better. It's a strategy for burnout. It is. Some of you, your greatest weakness is also your greatest strength. It's love. It's love. But I don't want your holy fire for love to burn you down. So look, Jesus gives us three priorities. Love God, love others, and take care of yourself. So let me encourage you to take care of yourself. Not for the sake of self, but for the sake of others. Not for the sake of me, but for the sake of mission. Develop a plan. And if you have not developed a plan, how long are you gonna wait? Hopefully not until it's too late. All right, so God, give all of us wisdom right now, this week. As we leave this room, the wisdom to figure out what a self-leadership plan looks like. The wisdom to reflect on what's going on in our heads and our hearts. Also the wisdom to strategize and stick to it. And then remind us the purpose of this. Remind us consistently that we're not leading me because it's about me. No, we're leading me because it's about you and the people you have put in our lives to serve well. Servant leadership begins with self-leadership. Instill that in our hearts. But make sure we never forget it's about servant leadership. All right, let this be ascending. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you so very much for being here today. No, I kept you a little bit late, so thanks. Sorry, tomorrow. If you need prayer, the fireside room is right outside those doors, and we would love to pray and chat with you. If you need to meet one of our pastors, like if you're new here, Maybe it's your first or second time. We would love to meet you. Go out to that guest relations kiosk right in the middle of the lobby, and we will see you there. Have a good one. Sorry, tomorrow, wherever you are.